Good morning, everybody, all of our beloved brothers and sisters here and abroad. Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we love to just sit and talk about our Lord. So, this morning we are in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to go from verse 43 to the end. Oh, yeah. I think that is where we went, but we didn't get into this last little section of it.
You said 42?
3.
43 to the end.
Mm-hmm. Don't turn away from this. Yes. Right. So, let's start out. You have heard, it's been said.
I can do that. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father, mm-hmm. who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and he makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers. For if you love those who love you, well, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brethren, then what more than the others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles and the heathen do that? You therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your Heavenly Father is perfect. That's good. Very good.
Well, there's plenty in there we can talk
yes.
about. Felt like the Lord was speaking to me this morning about love. And this goes right along with what he was saying to me. You know, you heard it's been said, you shall love your enemy, your neighbor, and hate your enemy. Well, what we need to, I hate to say that word, need. Truth be told, we have no enemies. God is love. And love covers a multitude of sins. When it says, you've heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, I feel like what you're doing is judging. Oh, this is my neighbor, I love him. This is my enemy, you know, I hate him. Well, what tree are you eating of? What has this guy done that this guy hasn't, you know? And what is this man's background? What was his, how has he been hurt? And fallen out of perfection. You know, everybody has their own story to tell about why they are the way they are. And he says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Well, that's a little bit against, you know, my flesh.
A little.
We have, you know, it says at the end, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I still keep remembering the lesson that God taught me when I was in the hospital there for a long time. When you give anything except love and understanding and trying to understand their anyone that you come in contact with, you know, like it says, to agree with your accuser quickly. If you give less than perfect love to another person, you're handing them a great big handful of death, and you are helping to continue to destroy all the just keeps singing in my heart all the time. It doesn't matter what they do to you, it matters what you do to them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. No matter how they treated him, they stoned him, they crucified him, he loved them. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about on this subject?
Well, I can say something. When we talk about our enemy, the biggest enemy that we really have is ourself. Because our self-life, because when I say that is because the accuser of the brethren is usually right inside of you. You know, that's that old endemic nature, which is an enmity to God. It doesn't know the things of God. It don't want to know the things of God. That nature. But we've been born again of a new nature. And if we're not careful, we tend to walk in duality of nature at times. We go in and out of the presence of the Lord and the consciousness of God. James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the word, therefore, is for double-minded is dipsuchos, double-souled. And that's where your soul is trying to be married to two things. It's trying to be married to your old fleshly nature and trying to be married to the Lord at the same time. And you can't serve two masters, because either you'll love the one and despise the other, or whatever, you know, back and forth there. So, you know, really the biggest enemy that we have is we need to look in the mirror and say to ourselves, there you are. There's my enemy right there, that natural man. But we also need to acknowledge that we're to reckon that man to be dead indeed unto sin, and reckon ourselves to be alive unto God, you know. And, you know, but we still have that duality creep up at times. And there's coming a time, and I believe it's where we will acknowledge him in all of our ways, and once we do that, we will totally function in the mind of Christ. But I think we go in and out right now still some. And that's why it says in Revelations, to him that overcometh will I grant, make a temple, to him that overcometh will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And basically what he's saying there, when we overcome, we come up over that nature through Christ's strength, not our own strength, because we can't do it in our own strength, but through acknowledging his strength in us, then what happens there is that we quit going in and out of the consciousness and the nature of God. And then he says, I'll write upon him. And literally what that means, if you break it down into what those words mean, it means I will describe upon him the name and the nature and the character of my God, and he'll go no more out in the name of my God, you know. And that's where, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there. You know, it's not just you proclaiming that you're there, but it's you yielding to the presence of God in all things. And, you know, I don't know if that makes sense to y'all or not.
It does.
I mean, you know.
You know, you was talking about the mirror, uh-huh. And I was just thinking about Michael Jackson's song.
Man in the mirror.
He changes ways.
Man in the mirror.
Right? What does God do? What does he do? He puts his word out there, mm-hmm. into the secular,
yes.
system out there, and they don't even know that they're doing it. But
yeah.
God's doing it, see? And that'll go along partially with my sermon today, what you just said there. You know. But you know, praise God. But you know, it's amazing. If you really listen and you have ears to hear the music out there,
yeah.
what they say,
yes.
they're crying out.
Yes.
The word of God is coming out of them when they don't
yes.
even know it's coming out of them. But thank God, you're going to wake up one of these days. And maybe we're going to help pour a little water on them where they do wake up, you know.
But you'd be surprised how many songs out in the secular world.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you listen, really listen, instead of listening to the beat,
right,
you
right.
listen to the words. Yeah. You know?
Right. I've always loved soul, you know, what they call soul music. I mean, I was always a big fan of the soul groups and stuff, and I used to listen to it a lot, and I still do some, you know, once in a while. But you know, some of the songs, if you listen to the words, my God, they're preaching you a sermon if you'll hear it. And what does the scripture says? The heavens declare it. So does the earth declare it. Everything declares it, you know. But we just have to have ears to hear it, you know. Even the rap music, even though it gets pretty off color and all that stuff, you know, it's poetry. But it's the reason people want to hear it is not just because of the beat. It's because of their innate hunger to be in harmony with God. And it's harmonious. They rhyme words as they go through, you know, through the thing. And that's why when people hear that rap music or hear a poem, you're listening for the next rhyming word to come, you know. And because you're listening for the next rhyming word to come, you hear all the other words too, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's a God of harmony, and He wants us to be in harmony with Him. That's why He wants us to be at one with Him, you know.
The whole universe is harmony.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. You just got to be in tune to it, like you say.
Yeah, and even the music, you know, I love what Blaine said one time. I heard him preach a sermon. We went to a thing down in Kentucky one time. Jim had him down there years ago. They threw a concert for the people in that town. You know, he had Blaine come and do it. And Blaine was caring on about music, and he says there's only 12 notes in music, you know, and that's true. And 12 is the number for governmental perfection. Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen hard enough in any music, you'll hear some harmony, you know, in songs and stuff like that. You'll hear some harmony, and a lot of times some of the words in them, they'll end up coming back to God and saying something about God. Without even really realizing that they're doing it, I think sometimes, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
just like that song, what is it? When you walk through a storm, oh, you get a vibe.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that back in the
early
50s when I was a teenager.
Well, like that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that you're just doing. Love. I mean, you know. Don't you think God inspired all those songs? I know He did. You know, that inner cry in their heart. You know,
a lot of people that write music don't realize what they're really writing.
Yeah. Yep.
Some write music to let everything rhyme. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
I think even disharmony in music is something that catches your ear. And the disharmony pulls you, and, oh, what was that? And makes you listen harder for the harmony.
Right.
When the song is everything is lollipops and roses, and it goes along, and then you know, in a storm when you're walking on, and it'll go into more of the flats and the sharps or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand what it is, but it. It does an almost a harmony, but it throws one note into a black key. You know what I mean? So that you hear that it's a little off. It's a little off. What do I got to do to get back on track?
You know, it's funny. I believe it was Elvis Presley that I heard say that one time. You know, he played the guitar. You know, when he first started a lot when he could sing, and later on he didn't play the guitar that much because he had full bands behind him and all that kind of stuff. But I believe he said that he only played four notes.
Yeah.
I mean, four, not
rhythm,
notes.
Chords.
Four chords. Rhythm. Yeah.
And they say that they basically say if you can play those four chords, you can play any kind of music just about, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of musicians out there, and even the popular guys today, they can't read music. A lot of them can't even read music.
Mm-hmm.
They just play the chords, you know. And that's what TMA used to do for the musicians out there. He would get chord charts for them, you know. And he'd have, you know, he'd just
cheat
tell them the chords, you know.
They call them cheat sheets.
Yeah, cheat sheets. And most musicians do that. They do that. Because if you try, I don't know how you'd be able to play reading along with music. It would seem like it would be hard because you can't look ahead, you know, because you're playing something.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but even the things of the natural really just declare the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
All everything does. If you've got eyes and ears to hear it,
mm-hmm.
see it or hear it, you know. But
I know when my bass instructor, before he passed away, he says, never call a musician a musician, because there's always something new to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Always something new to learn.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he sang in a tenor group. Well, my mother started playing the piano, she was about 6 years ago. And she went to Ohio State. She met Jesse Owens, who
mm-hmm.
was over there.
Yeah.
She was majoring in music.
Uh-huh.
And she can listen to any song and tell you what key it is.
Yeah.
That's how many flats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's an ear to be able to do that. And my grandfather, my dad's sisters, was called Tavern, because that's the last name, Sisters Trio. And he could sing, he played by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And he could sing either one of their parts, and he played the piano and accompanied by ear.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and then the song.
Isn't that a gift, though?
It is.
It is.
Well, it passed me.
I think Linda can do that.
I have no such gift.
Well.
I think you've got the gift. You just ain't really put it out there yet. You got it. Yeah.
I don't think so.
You've played that bass for a long time, buddy.
No,
you didn't bring
no,
that bass
I mean,
in here and thump on that thing in here for
I've
us.
I had different teachers, but
yeah,
the one that passed away, he was taking me through the music part and then the theory part. And these other guys just want to teach me how to play this song. But no, I started too late, so.
I was watching this thing on YouTube the other day, this little girl.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
She was a little girl. She was playing the bass.
Yeah.
And buddy, that girl was, she was thumping that thing like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was really good.
Did she have long braids and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and she was real little. I mean, she was only like maybe 9 or 10 years old or something like that. She was good. I mean, she was playing all the backgrounds for all of these, you know, hard rock groups that have all these, you know, the where they slam the bass, you know, and they bang it, and she's doing all that stuff. And she's just a little kid. I mean, you know.
Gifted. Everybody can do it. You're gifted. You have it or you don't.
Yeah,
have
I mean,
it.
Her dad was a really good guitar player, you
there
know.
You
he started playing with her some, but man, she was just out of sight when she used to play that thing.
This young kid on the YouTube,
yeah,
and his brothers, all of his brothers played bass.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's phenomenal. He's better than the one we were talking about, the girl.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you all know, but Sister Audrey used to play the bass.
Mm-hmm.
The stand-up bass.
Really?
Yes, she did.
That's
when,
hard.
When they first got together, she played the bass before they had a you know, organ and all that stuff. I mean,
she
with
played
her
the accordion before she did the organ.
Yeah. She played the bass, so she plays stand-up
bass.
What's
that
thing
that
you
play
on your lap?
That you what? Play on your lap.
Modern bass that you play like this, an upright
play
bass.
Play on your lap.
Upright bass. Don't have
the
rest string
end.
No,
you're feeling it out.
You're just feeling it.
Steel guitar.
Now, what's the thing that you set it on your lap and you play it?
Well, that's a dulcimer or something like that. And they call it a dulcimer.
Dulcimer?
Otto Hart dulcimer.
Otto Hart, that sounds right.
Thing up here. Yeah.
She played that too.
Yeah.
She played Brother Eddie too. Kept him right in line.
She didn't have to fine tune him. Thank you, Eddie.
Well, praise the Lord.
I wanted to say something. I don't know how many times in my life since I've been on earth I've heard this. How's the world treating you? And I only had one reply to that, and I'm not sure if I always said it. But my reply was, I'm not paying attention to that. Because I feel like that's where we get off track. That's where we start judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can't be so entangled in the world that we let any changes upset us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was talking to Oscar before you guys come in. God so loved the world.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and I know that in everything he created.
Yeah.
But at the time when Jesus died, I'm pretty sure he was dying for the harmony of God on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that was the main reason he was dying. Well, other than that, in obedience, which he was showing us in the flesh, that's how we're all supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience unto the cross.
Yeah, we would be one. He said that they would be one as we are one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting, because if you read 45, it says the sun shineth on evil, and it shineth. Maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the
just
and the unjust.
I got in a big conversation with somebody, I won't mention who, and they said, well, you know, he said that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. I said, okay. I said, what makes you think you're just? I think we need to pause a lot of times. We need to pause not only what we say, but how we take it in. God has an established already, Oscar and me were talking, already from the foundation of the earth. Nothing takes him by surprise. And I guess what I'd like to say is, through the Holy Spirit, why are we in surprise of a lot of things? Everything is captive according to that Holy Spirit and the will of God. I like the scripture that he quotes, I'll misquote it, but after the counsel of what?
Works all things at the counsel of his own will.
And I think that's something we could wrap ourselves in.
Yeah.
After the counsel of his own will.
That's how he showed me the sovereignty of God. When I seen that scripture when I was a real young Christian, it just jumped off the page of me. And when I quoted that scripture in a Sunday school class, when I first started coming to church here, I had one of the elders in the church say, tell
you
me,
can't
you can't believe
it.
That.
Yeah.
You can't believe that. God works all things out of the counsel of his own will. He's in control of everything. You can't believe that. I said, yeah, I can, and I do. I said, that's what it says.
Yeah.
Well, it goes right back to 45, you know. Who are we to say what's evil and what's not evil? Who are we to say what's good and what's not good?
Well, let's
take that word there, too, that works all things out of the counsel of his own will, and take that scripture where it says, and he's not willing that any should what?
Perish.
And if he's not willing that any should perish, guess what? Maybe they're not going to perish. You know what I'm saying? In the sense of how we look at perishing, you know. We look at perishing as being just totally destroyed, totally done, you know.
Maybe that's why his word declares that his mercies are new and fresh every day.
Right.
Because we don't know when that person or who individual found that mercy. But we do know it was meant to be found in them and in us. It's meant to be found in us so they could see it in us.
Can I say something else about what Mike said about the rain just falling on the just and the unjust? We sing that song out there about take me through the valley, and the words to the song actually said, and keep me from the rain. And I told him, wait a minute. And I actually stopped them one time and I said, I want us to change that.
Yeah.
And make it keep me in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the difference between what we're saying, that just rain falling on the unjust, when the rain starts falling on them, they want to put the umbrella up.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what it amounts out to. Us, when we realize that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, we want the rain to fall on us.
Right.
Because what it's going to do, what does rain cause? In the natural, when you go outside, it causes growth.
Mm-hmm.
Without any rain, there's no growth.
Yeah.
I mean, my grass gets so burned up looking sometimes in the summertime, and I don't usually water it, you know. And but boy, when that rain comes, about give me about 2 days after rain comes, big hard rain, it's green as can be.
Yeah.
It's ready to be cut again, you know what I mean?
That's what my sister told me. We used to have prayer meeting.
Yeah.
Betty and a bunch of us, every Tuesday and every Friday, and it was real dry, and the man across the street watered his lawn every day. My sister said, don't water it, because it's going in a dormant state. Just wait and see.
Yeah.
And when the rain came, my yard looked better than his, and he had been watered every day. And then town, well, you got to pay for that water. And she said, Brenda, don't water. You wait and see, because she said grass goes into a dormant state. And it's like they hibernate. And she said, wait and see when that first rain comes. And it sure did.
And you know what?
Came to life.
The rain that falls from the sky does more for your grass than if you water it.
Yeah, because
with
it's
water,
got chemicals.
It don't have all them chemicals in it, you know what I mean. And it's more natural rain, you know. But
I've been seeing more and more with this, with Tobias, what's happened with him, and where it says the steps of man are ordered from God. And he orders those, makes me want to cry, to come into your life, to bless you, to guide you, and direct you. When we ran into this woman and her husband, we always see them at Kroger, don't we? And we were in Dollar Tree, and she came hi, and I hadn't seen her in a while, because we see her husband more than her. And I said hi, and I was thinking, now where did I know her from? I know so many people from everywhere, you know, give her a job. And then her husband walked up, and I knew this is Dolly. And then they began to ask, just talk, you know, how we talk, what's been going on. And they asked about Tobias, because they saw every Sunday he'd come from church, or he's going to be in our house. And they hadn't seen it. And I began to tell them, and then she told us about this doctor that is treating him now. Mm-hmm. And I just look and see, and I look at the nurse, the facility he's in. I was trying to look at a different one, not go to this and that. But God ordered the steps to where he is. And she specializes in wound care. And that's what she did before she was working there as a registered nurse. She went to people's houses and took care of wound care. And the doctor, when we went over there the last time before, he said, he's got caught an evac on his foot that is all the time pumping and drawn. It's taken any fluids that's not to be there, and it's also building up tissue. All these things I've been learning. He said, who's the one that did this? And Tobias said, I don't remember her name. Her name's Heather. We got her. He said, I hope she's the one that dresses your foot all the time. Nurse knows what she's doing. And we complimented her and told her, and she shared with us how she used to go and be a wound care, you know, nurse. And precious, I just look at the people that, when we say the steps of man, not no good man, that man had it, but the steps of man is ordered by God. You look at everyone you meet every day, it's no coincidence or you happen to see them or whatever. Ordered by God.
You know, the thing you said about wounds, Margaret, she had some surgery and it wouldn't heal. You know, and she doesn't have sugar anything, but this wouldn't heal. And she went back to the surgeon and she told him, she said, well, this don't seem like it's healing. And he says, we can graft some skin, take some skins from somewhere and put it on there. And she says, well, what if that don't work? He says, well, then we'll graft some more skin. And and she told him, no, I don't think so. And it ended up, I don't remember how she ended up getting sent to a wound doctor or going to a wound doctor. But she went to a wound doctor.
They know
and they got her healed up in pretty short order, because they took this stuff and think about even in the natural thing about this. They took this stuff that was called, it's silver something.
Mm-hmm.
That
silver nitrate.
Yeah.
Silver nitrate.
Well, it was actually like strips of it, and you cut it off and you like tape it on there or whatever, and taped it on her wound, and it started healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is scripture, what is silver in scripture?
Hmm.
It's redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God, see, God's word, I mean, right on the wound,
yeah.
See, redemption,
yes.
He redeems it, you know, he heals it, you know, and I mean, it's just unbelievable, the things even in the natural,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, that just scream God, if you just have like a ears to hear it, you know, or eyes to see it, it's amazing.
He did, there was a callus on his right foot,
uh-huh.
And the doctor was screaming, you know, had a little knife, you know,
uh-huh.
and he said, hey, and he looked in there, he said, there's a little ulcer underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's when he said a bead got in there,
yeah.
A little bead and stepped on, got in his foot.
Uh-huh.
He said, I'm going to put this cream, and I don't know if the nursing, if they've got it, and it's in a little packet, but you just a tiny little bit, you squirt. Little packet, it's a little bit bigger, I think, than like a tea bag packet. But it's got this. He said, I want them to dress it every day and put this on it. And I'm going to give you a couple of packets because I don't know if they have it. And they said it's locked up with whoever they get it from wasn't there. The nurse or whoever's over it wasn't there. And he said it's a little expensive, but he gave it. And they dressed it every day. The next time we went there, he said, this thing's done healed. Oh, it was healed. And he said, just a band-aid, because they had it wrapped. Put a band-aid on it. I'm just looking at all that. Now, he's to go 13 for pre-testing,
yeah.
Surgery. And they're doing, they're going to take off of your body somewhere and graft on you no more. They've got all, he named all the stuff. You wouldn't believe that they use from other even animals or from any, but the things that they make, that they graft, because then he goes into 19th and they'll start grafts, you know, on his foot.
His valve that he got put in his heart, this last surgery, I said, can I see that, what that looks like? They actually take this metal piece, it looks like a crown, doesn't it, Clay?
Mm-hmm.
And they sit it in your actual valve, and it's covered with bovine tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unbelievable,
the
things.
The things that God, when he was talking about all of this, and I said, boy, I was telling the doctor, all of the knowledge and the things that God has given him, he said, yes, he agreed with us. They know that it's all this God has given. God made these bodies. He knows what can be
That's
done
right.
with them.
Sure.
Well, it just goes to show you that God made all things for our good.
Yes.
You know, it's just that we haven't figured out what all things are yet.
and when the situation comes up, the experience we have.
And I'll be long gone when they're still figuring it out.
They'll still be doing things.
Hey,
well, I wonder how many cures they have out there in the world that they don't, doctors and stuff don't use. Because
a lot.
The rainforest was full
a
of
lot.
All kind of herbs and plants and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember that movie with Sean Connery where he discovered a cure for cancer by going out in the rainforest over there.
Yeah. Well, you know, even Joey, when she was up at Mercy, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
And we all went up there, you know, and that doctor up there basically sounded like he was giving her a death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was basically telling her, if you have a heart attack and you don't get here within so many minutes, you're going to die, for sure. And they really did. She had what they call a widow maker. Her
mm-hmm.
main descending artery had like shriveled up, I guess, or shrunk up. And, you know, he basically wasn't saying that he could really even do anything for her. That's the way I understood it anyway. And somehow she got sent to Dr. Kiriaki over at Christ Hospital. And when she talked to him, and you probably know this story better than me, but when she talked to him, he told her if she'd bring in her, like, all her test things, he'd look at them, and you know, if she needed surgery, he'd do surgery on her right away or whatever. but when she came in, I think it went to him, he told her that he'd had real good success treating that with medicine. And Christ has the best heart hospital around. It's the best. But anyway, so she started taking that medicine, and her arteries and stuff opened back up. And she still has to take that medicine. Did she have headaches and the kind?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she
it took
had some,
her a year to get over
some
side effects.
Some side effects, you know. But I believe I'm telling this right. She called up that. And that was the head doctor up there at Mercy. She called him up and chewed him out and told him, you need to go back to school. You need to learn what's out there.
Oh, yes,
so he basically gave her
a death
warrant, you know, a death certificate, basically, what he was telling
her. He's the guy whose name I want.
Well,
stay
yeah.
away from that guy.
I was researching her problem,
uh-huh.
and it said, usually it's diagnosed by autopsy. So
after
God was
death,
with her the
well,
whole time.
When I had my episode where I basically had a little heart attack, that's what I had too. I had a 99% blockage in that main descending artery, which
mm-hmm.
was the widowmaker. You know what they call a widowmaker. But I happened to go to the hospital right when it happened, because I asked the doctor, you know, later on I asked him, I said, well, look, I said, how come, you know, I didn't have any symptoms or anything, you know, until all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, what probably happened was you had a piece of plaque break loose and lodge itself there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't that it was already, you know, been going over a long period of time, but he talked like it was a piece of plaque probably broke loose and lodged itself in that artery. And, I mean, they basically pretty much told me if I hadn't come, I'd die, you know.
That's exactly what happened, not with his heart, but with his
yeah.
brain.
Yeah.
We went to see Jeff the other day.
Yeah.
And he had this, what's the lung thing? The word's not coming. Pneumonia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they couldn't get it under control because
right.
they didn't know exactly where it was coming from. But because he had that, and he was in the hospital when he had that stroke, his recovery is much easier
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Because he was at the hospital.
Yes, because
well,
of the...
Well, see, I didn't have the regular symptoms of a heart attack. I didn't have the crushing feeling on your chest or anything like that. But both of my arms were getting totally numb and aching, you know, right and left arm, both of them. And, you know, I told Margaret, I said, man, I feel really funny. And I'm bad about not going to the doctor. I hate to go to doctors. But anyway, I mean, they're good and all that, but I mean,
yes,
I just hate to go. I hate to go. I'm bad for that. And anyway, she says, well, you need to go. You need to go. And I drove myself to the hospital, I think. I'm pretty sure I drove. I mean, she might have drove me. I don't even remember. But anyway, we got up there, and, you know, they put me on stuff, you know, the nitroglycerin stuff and all that stuff. But, you know, then the doctor went in and put that stent in, and, you know, I was back out of the hospital in a couple of days, you know, feeling okay, you know.
Remember this, Kristen, this is B, the woman I took care of.
Mm-hmm.
This is her granddaughter.
Yes.
That had three blockages, and one of them is the widowmaker.
Uh-huh.
And they only did one of the blockages because they didn't have vein to put in the other
mm-hmm.
two. So that's the only surgery, and she's got to have another surgery. And her dad, Larry, is good friends with me and Buddy, and keeps us posted. I mean, they keep in touch with us, and we meet while we eat with them and stuff. And he said that really remember her in prayer, because I guess now they're studying, seeing, and they're supposed to do surgery again on her. But her name
yeah.
is Kristen, and she has twins. They're teenagers, I think 13 or 14, boy and girl.
Don't they strip them veins out of your leg when they
yeah,
do that?
Yeah, they couldn't find vein. That's why they're, so whatever they're doing now is why they're doing this next surgery.
I like when we get into a part where the doctor has to confess about God.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And my doctor's done that a few times. He said that, he said you want one part that we replaced, I quadruple bypass, one of those is completely clogged. Mm-hmm. He said, but I was looking at all the test results. He said, it's good, it's a good thing that God gives you one that he has grow out of somewhere else. And he said, that's exactly what's going on with you.
Yeah.
He said, to take its place. He said, we put one thing in, that got clogged. He said, God created it to go somewhere else, and it's growing out of you. And he said, you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
God's bypass.
Oh,
well, yeah. Well, even in surgery, it's God's bypass.
Oh,
well, you
yes.
never know.
Whether we live or die, it's God.
You never know. I've got a good friend who had a stroke, and he healed himself. He grew, actually had grew another artery, just like you, grew another artery.
I didn't do that.
And healed it well.
That was God.
But you know what I mean? It healed itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard of that happening before, like with you, Clapboard, where they've said that they sometimes it'll actually grow another bypass itself.
It was funny. Everybody see the scar?
That's neat.
It was this one. And that one that he took out to put in me made my fingers and hand numb, where I couldn't feel them. You know, they went numb. I couldn't feel them.
Are they still like that?
Yeah, because I volunteered to have them take blood out of that vein right there. And they said, oh, that's going to hurt. I said, yeah, I know, but go ahead. I can't feel it.
Yeah.
Which is okay, because the surgeon wanted to know when I was going to have that taken care of. And I looked at him, I said, I don't think I will ever have that taken care of.
The steps of a man.
Oh my God.
I mean, God is, I'm going to ask ourselves a question. Why do we need God to intervene on things when he goes like this? It's in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I take it because we're not leaving it in his hand. We undermine what God has in store for us. He has greater things in store for us. And guess who he wants to get the credit? None of us sitting in here.
Yeah.
None of us. How dare us even take the thing to what you always talk about it. He says, and I love how you say it. He said, he'll not give the glory to another.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll say, remember, you're not another.
That's right.
That's right. I want to talk about the rain just for a second. The rain coming down. I love, this breaks me down to when I was 16 years old and I was running. I used to love to run in the rain. First of all, it takes the oxygen in your presence and it's real. You are breathing better oxygen than you are on the mask that they put on you and everything else. Why? Because it's God made. It's God made. And when you're running and you're feeling that rain in your face and on your body, you're going, oh man, I'm just smiling. You know, where everybody else might be tripping and falling, I'm going like, this is great. Because I tell you what, I think sometimes we don't understand God's plan in our life. Even the deviations that we already have planned for our life that have been changed.
Yes, Jesus.
It's after his counsel for one thing, but it's also the fulfillment and that he does everything, everything. And you know what? The Lord had me give Jeff a word over there, because Jeff, I see him as being discouraged, and I understand why. But I said, Jeff, what God has started, he will bring it to completion.
Yes.
The completion in you is going to be in God's time, just like it is the rest of us.
Yes.
We don't know, like Mike just said, we don't know what time or what day. But I got news for you. It's always his day.
Mm-hmm.
It's always his time. And you know, and shadows and darkness don't even affect God, because he sees right through them. Because he's still the light. And he's looking.
Hallelujah.
He's really looking for the light to witness in us, to where we start rejoicing instead of walking around going, oh, I just don't know. But you know what? But I know him who does know.
Yes.
And I know him who has it in control. And I trust him whether we live or die.
Amen.
That can't just be a saying. We got to mean it.
Yes.
Do you think God ever knows the intent of our heart?
Always.
Even a few weeks ago when I shared out was Isaiah 28 from the pulpit up there. And he talked about, he would, she would send forth the hail that would sweep away the lies, you know. Hail is water.
Hard water.
It's hard water. It's hard water.
Water.
And you know what? When we find ourselves in situations we don't understand, and, you know, I mean, you know, like, you know, I'll use Kathy as an example, because she's just had a whole bunch of different thing after thing after thing, you know. That's hard water that's coming into your life, you know. And it's probably made you stand, and you've said you've considered things that was in the hospital about being nicer to people and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even with those kind of things, the hard things in our life, those are the things that a lot of times God reveals to us, you know, where we're at. And he sweeps away, so to speak, the lies in our life, or even the lies that we tell ourselves sometimes, you know, then he also talked about getting in the hidden places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got places that are hidden in us that we don't really want to own up to at times. You know what I mean?
Jesus.
But I tell you what, he'll overflow them with the water of his word, and he'll bring it forth, you know, and he'll get rid of it by doing that, you know.
I have no idea what I was talking about, we're getting ready to say, but God had done something to me and showed me something. And I don't know if I was crying or just looking at Debbie, and I go like this. I actually thought that was already dead in me.
Yeah.
And God made it. He said, I'm going to show you something that you think's dead, but this is alive in you.
Yeah.
We need to pay attention.
Jesus.
Oh, God. God does all things. I still say this. I believe God does all things to restore us, not destroy us. We got to get it fixed in our mind. Everything is to revelate the regeneration of his spirit within us. It's to let him claim that land and take hold and show ownership. And then when you walk the walk, it goes every step that a man takes. Right? Every step is of the Lord. We walk in his presence. We don't walk before him, we walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we be the temple unless the Lord is in the temple?
Praise God.
Well, if God does made everything, like 48 says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, he made us perfect human beings. He did. And the human body is so perfect that people, the doctors, the medical people, have no idea how far they got to go to figure it out. And you know, that's just another sign of where we are in the Lord, because he has made everything according to his own will. And you know, that the science of the stuff anymore fascinates me to no end. Just like when Kath was in the hospital this last time, they were doing stuff on her. I'm thinking, what are they doing? How can they do? You know, they were pumping her stomach, and I'm thinking, well, how can they be pumping her stomach out through her nose? Well, that's what they were doing.
Thank you for that.
You know, I'm thinking, how can that happen? How does that happen?
It happens very painfully.
Yes.
I'll tell
you. That scripture that you just shared
about the pain in you.
About perfect. That's the Greek word telos. Here's what it means. It means complete application of labor growth, mental, moral character. It means completeness of a full-aged man.
Mature.
Perfect. Then if you go into Theres, here's what Theres says about that word, perfect. Brought to its end, finished, lacking nothing, necessary to completeness, perfect. So God, you know, he is the equipper of what brings us into perfect. When he says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven's perfect, he's the one that has to bring about that perfection.
That's right.
And you know, a few weeks ago I talked about Michelangelo, you know, when he carved that statue of David, which they think that's one of the most perfect carvings ever out of a big block of marble or whatever it was. And they supposedly asked him, how did he do that? He said, well, I look at that block, and everything that don't look like David, I take it away. And that's what God is. Everything that don't look like him, he takes it away, you know. But it's a gradual thing, and he doesn't do it all at once. Because if he did, I think it would totally destroy us, probably, you know. But thank God that he's changing us, you know, little by little, line upon line, and precept upon precept.
Can I say something?
Yes, you're allowed.
Kathy?
Well, of course.
We need not to conclude that because 48's been read, we need to go back to 45 next week.
Okay. All right.
And you'll see why when we go back there.
All right.
My dad carved a chain. It was amazing to me because there's no breaks in it.
Yeah.
And people asked him, how did you do that? He goes, I just cut away anything that wasn't chained. I don't think he knew about the quote from Michael.
You know what? He was a real artist.
Mm-hmm.
I seen that he used to carve boots and things like that.
Yeah.
You should have seen some of the stuff he did. It was just great. He was
now that was wood.
Yeah.
He did stuff in stone, made bears and stuff like that.
Yeah. I never seen
just
I seen the boots.
Unbelievable.
You know, they were pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But you know what? In my life I get to witness that a lot of creation.
Yeah.
But creation went from father to daughters to sons.
Yeah.
And their family.
Yeah.
Very creative.
I think about his brother and the art and God, what he draws, he already sees it. It is just like you say. And then his hand begins to construct and make. His brother really is an artist, and then he's got a cousin and his little girl. We built granddaughter.
Oh yeah.
She's little. She's been to our house while they were doing some work. And I was looking at this child draw, and God was just saying, what is here, you know, what she is seeing and him too seeing is actually able for this hand to come down to and to actually do it just like
amazing.
Making that and doing that.
I remember one time this is when he was in high school. He sat down and looked in the mirror and drew a picture of himself. Mm-hmm. That's hard to do with what they tell me.
Yeah.
But all that went by me. All my other brothers can do stuff.
But since you got whatever gift God's given you, is your gift.
I haven't found it yet.
Everybody. yesterday, he took the mass air out of my car.
That's
I don't care. It's still something to do. Everybody, and he cleaned it and did it, put it in. Now it's fixed, and I was gonna have to pay $200-some.
Mm-hmm.
And what I paid was what, $13
for the
cleaner.
Yeah.
And you just clean the.
Hey,
says,
buddy.
on YouTube. Yeah, you can do it.
You can fix anything on
YouTube.
There's
all
the bring up on there, gives the instructions.
The weirdest thing that you've ever heard of, and there's five.
Yes.
So next week, we're starting with 40, not starting
45.
But we're going to go back to 42. 42.
Right.
About borrowing.
So we can get to 45.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Because I think that's what you said last week when we got up and you said, I want to go back to 42. Something about that verse is stuck in your head. So let's close in a word of prayer. What a great Debbie.
Sure.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your words because they're spirit and life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And boy, do we need them in this day.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace to your people. And Lord, we just want to honor and praise you in our service. Amen.
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 My brother.